children. And some of you know that I have a few of them. When we had our first child, Leah and I were excited. A little bundle of joy named Christiana. She would coo and snuggle and sleep and stare into your eyes intently. And it was a joyful thing to hold her in our arms. And she began to giggle and to wiggle and to play with the things that she could reach. She began to crawl and say first words and eat baby mush and walking and potty training. And, you know, you see the progress of growth as from just a newborn up to where she is now. You know, of course, we have several more than just the first one. But she was a joy to have. Still is. I just say was, but still is. People say you can't have just one, so the Lord blessed us with another. And for most people, it seems two would be sufficient. Some countries limit how many kids you can actually have. America seems to have a little bit of the notion that two is good enough. You shouldn't have any more than that. And I am thrilled to have as many as the Lord has given me. You know, he said, be fruitful and multiply, and we have done so. And when God blessed us with the third, people started to think that we were crazy, and that they wouldn't be able to handle as many if they had that many themselves. We had a fourth and a fifth, and when we go to the grocery store and people see us with five kids, they look at you like you're crazy or something's wrong. Somebody asked us one time if we were running a daycare. Psalm 127 says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. Do we realize that every one of us are builders? Either you're building the house, or the Lord is building the house for you. As much as I don't like making a set schedule, I have noticed that when I start doing things that fit into a time regimen, it helps me to keep on track and my family on track. And usually things that alter that schedule makes it hard to stick to the regimen. Is the Lord doing the building, or are we doing the building? As I learned to study the scriptures and implement things to teach my kids the things of the Lord, you know, I find different obstacles and struggles that come along the way, as we all do. And, you know, everybody finds different ways of teaching their kids. And the more I meet other families who, how they raise their kids, I find there's other means that people use to teach. And we heard that verse earlier. It's in Proverbs. You mentioned it. I don't remember. We'll skip that one. Israel had God to protect them from any danger if they would have him as their only God and serve him. But distractions would come, and they would forget the God who delivered them from Egypt. Israel would try to keep their own city in their own strength. Their watchmen would wake, but in vain, only to be taken by another nation in judgment from the Lord. If the Lord is not building the house, they labor in vain that build it. If the Lord is not keeping the city, the watchmen are waking, but in vain. You know, I'm raising five children with my wife, and if I'm not trusting in the Lord, to build my house according to the ways of God, and if I'm not trusting in the Lord to keep my family in the ways of God from the dangers that are outside in the world and in sin, the house is not going to stand. The city is not going to be kept. Things will fall apart and come to disaster. If we realize that without the keeping of God in our homes and our cities, it is pointless to wake up to fight an enemy that we are inferior to in power. You know, Satan is out there to seek and to destroy, but as believers, we have unlimited power on our side if we will put our complete trust in our leader, Jesus Christ. You know, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me, and that comes with contentment in Christ. When the king of Assyria sent messengers to King Hezekiah, I'm going to read a few verses in 2 Kings 18, verse 32. It says, Until I come and take you away to a land that is a land like your own, a land of corn and wine, a land of bread and vineyards, a land of olive oil and honey, that ye may live and not die, and hearken not unto Hezekiah when he persuadeth you, saying, the Lord will deliver us. Hath any of the gods of the nations delivered at all this land out of the hand of the king of Assyria? Where are the gods of Hamath and of Arpad? These are the gods of Sepharvaim, Hena, and Iva. Have they delivered Samaria out of mine hand? Who are they among all the gods of the countries that have delivered their country out of mine hand, that the Lord should deliver Jerusalem out of my hand? But the people held their peace and answered him not a word, for the king's commandment was saying, answer him not. You know, he was speaking very boldly. You know, what, you know, and of course we understand that he was speaking of other false gods. You know, what God has delivered at any time out of mine hand? And he applied that same idea to the God, the creator, and the deliverer of his people. And he says, don't listen to Hezekiah when he says the Lord will deliver you. He's not going to deliver you. Trying to cast doubt in their minds. In the next chapter, in verse 6, it says, and Isaiah said unto them, thus shall ye say to your master, as a response, thus saith the Lord, be not afraid of the words which thou hast heard, which with which the servants of the king of Assyria have blasphemed me. Behold, I will send a blast upon him, and he shall hear a rumor and shall return to his own land, and I will cause him to fall by the sword in his own land. You know, God will not take kindly to the threats against his people. And a little bit further on, verse 19. Now therefore, O Lord our God, I beseech thee, save thou us out of his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord God, even thou only. And usually when you see people in the scripture who are trusting in the Lord for his strength and his power to fight for them and to overcome the enemies that they face, they usually pray that others would see the Lord only. And that's what he's praying for here. And in verse 35, we'll go one more. And it came to pass that night that the angel of the Lord went out and smote in the camp of the Assyrians, 185,000. It's 185,000 people. So they didn't even have to fight. The angel of the Lord did the fighting for them. See, God, when God is on your side, if God be for us, who can be against us? Not even the king of Assyria. who did not believe in the strength of the Lord. And when they arose up early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses. I say, God is good to his people. Children do not fear the same way we do, and they are set on pleasing the ones they look up to, sometimes at any cost. They are beneficial to the battles that we face in life, and though we are their teachers, they many times teach us about ourselves and sometimes how we could improve because we see failed qualities that we have instilled into them. An arrow can only do what it is designed to do, and it cannot send itself into its intended target. Back in Psalm 127, verse 2, it says, "It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. And lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate." As I said, an arrow cannot shoot itself, especially sending itself into its intended target. But when it is shot, it can teach you how you've cultivated it and crafted it and sent it on the path that it is on. Our children must be crafted with the trueness of God's righteousness to sail a straight path in the Word of God, and fitted with the sharpness of God's piercing word, followed by the feathers or the fletchings of a good name. Do our children have God's name upon them? And are they known by the God that we serve? Questions I like to ask myself. When others hear our name in our children, does that point them to God? And the Bible says a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. And many times we choose to seek after other things. We choose to have not the good name. And sometimes we don't see it by the blindness of our pride. And we see the results of it later. We're planting seeds. Doesn't matter what we do, we're always planting a seed. What are you planting? You know, what is it going to produce when it finally grows up? What about those of you who don't have any children? Or your children have grown up, or one day you will grow up and have children. Or maybe you've grown up and never had children. There's all these different situations. I leave you not out. In Titus chapter 2, it says, "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine." Paul's writing to Titus to speak to those who are under him. And he's talking to the aged women, the older men, the young men, and the servants. And he's telling them to live in a certain way by sound doctrine. Why? So that they may teach others. Timothy also tells us to treat the elder men and women as mothers and fathers, and the younger as brothers and sisters. You know, how do we view each other? You know, even if you don't have kids, there's still people under you. And if you're older, you treat the younger like children, because they're supposed to treat you like a fatherly or a motherly type figure. God has given every one of us responsibility. And what we do with that responsibility will not just affect us, it will affect the ones that are under us. Even if we think, well, I'm not really trying to mentor anybody, or you know, just want to stay to myself, just want to do my own thing, even that kind of a decision will affect those around you. And God can use you in a greater way in your own life and the lives of those who are around you if you decide to choose to follow after God. I remember stories of somebody who would pass out tracts, and one person got a hold of that tract and became a great evangelist around the world, and thousands of people got saved under his ministry. And there's lots of stories like that. I heard of another guy who passed out tracts in Sydney, Australia. It's a popular video online, that the guy talking about this guy. And every day, as much as he could, he would go out and pass out a tract and ask him, are you a Christian? Do you know the Lord? And I don't know how many times he knew if people would stop and actually listen and get saved. But the guy who was telling the story said that all these different people who he had spoken to and passed out the tract, they would go back to their home place, and they would get saved there, or they would get saved not long after they would get that tract because of the conviction of God. And thousands or hundreds of people would be saved during their ministry as they grew up, and God used them mightily. So we don't know the kind of influence that we have. And later on, that the man in Australia, I heard in the story, somebody came and told him some of the stories about how these people had gotten saved and gone on to do great things for Christ. And he didn't know anything about that. And so it's a great encouragement when you can. But when we don't hear of the good things, keep going anyway. You know, we're trusting in Christ. We're not looking for the results. We're looking to Christ daily. He is the one who is our sufficiency, not we ourselves. So, as arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, I like my quiver to be full. And I pray that God would help me and you as well, whether you have children or not. May we strive to craft our arrows with skill. And let's pray and be finished. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the opportunities that you give to us. I pray for your guidance in how we use those things you've taught us, that we may teach others also. We thank you for the children that those of us have had children, that you would bless them and keep them. And those who are under us, may you use us to be great witnesses and to train up soldiers and mighty arrows. We thank you for your great gifts, and may we not neglect the so great salvation that you have provided. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.